38.
There was a joke made at my retirement ceremony that went like, he did great things for this company, in his 40s, and we've put up with him ever since. It was the kind of joke that got laughs, but later on bothered me for a few years. Had me wondering if that's how my co-workers really thought of me. My retirement gift was a wooden cane with a curled top signed with the names of all the folks I had worked with. Sometimes I still look at it, where it hangs on the wall, and think most of the people who signed that cane aren't around anymore. So the joke's on them.
While the guild members packed up their tent and other supplies that Charles didn't realize had been set out, Charles walked around the tree line picking up pieces of trees and branches that would make for good whittling material. Thick, dry wood of a certain hardness. He made his way back to his rocking chair and dropped the pieces beside it, making a good pile. He held one in his hand, one that was mostly missing bark and would be the easiest to work with. He sat down in his chair while he considered his options.
What do kids like these days? A girl, maybe a horse or a cat. A boy would probably want a snake.
A spider was too detailed for him to want to try. He hadn't ever been that good at whittling before, so he wasn't about to carve anything extravagant. The piece in his hand was round on most sides, with an almost flat section where it broke from the branch. He cut away the pieces of bark and tried to envision what it would be best. Settling on a horse, he hummed and worked happily for about an hour until he realized the angle of one leg was off.
Not too late for a frog, then.
He was cutting away at the rounded head and bumps for eyes of a frog when he heard voices coming from the woods. His first thought was the need for a second keep-out sign. The one he had was on a different side of the lawn from where the voices were coming. He kept whittling for a few minutes more until he glanced up to see the faces of the reincarnators walking out of the woods single file. The samurai shuffled along, his shoulders bent forward and his head down, followed by the lizard man carrying a rock strapped to his back. Then a despondent orc woman followed next, and then lastly, a deer who swayed side to side listlessly as she moved.
All in all, a sorry lot.
Charles ignored their theatrics and continued to carve. He'd gotten to the eyeball part and started to wonder if frogs had round pupils and irises like people. With a sigh, he sat the half-finished frog down beside him and looked at the five folks in front of him that seemed to dishearten the very air around them.
What?
Charles wasn't happy with the interruption. He was busy.
What could they possibly need from me?
The samurai gave a small, slow bow, but didn't rise all the way back up. His head was still hanging down.
Honored Elder, we've tried everything and can't find our way back. You're our last hope. Can you help us?
The others nodded along, except for the rock version of Titha. Charles, though, just looked at them.
Back from where?
For all he knew, this kid popped up out of nowhere, claiming to be his old friend from the future. The orc dumped trash into his cellar, and the lizard man was some sort of British gardener. Something happened, and they didn't get along. Charles knew there was more to it than that, but couldn't remember caring at all about what it was. Really, what bothered him the most was he couldn't figure out why these kids were bothering him to begin with.
I never gave them money, or food, or shelter. I didn't really pay them any attention. There has got to be someone else that is better suited to help them.
Charles frowned as he thought it through.
Why me?
Charles asked.
Mr. Charles, in the future I come from, you are the most powerful wizard in the world. You control the entire continent. If you can't help us, then I don't know who can.
The British lizard man practically whined.
But that's not our dimension, you moron, the orc woman glared.
Dimension? I thought they were time travelers or something.
Charles was even more confused, especially about why they were choosing to bother him with this. He didn't care enough about their adventure to think much on their problems, and he was just about to tell them to take their problems somewhere else when the door to his cabin opened. From inside, something very beautiful, so heartwarming it almost made him cry, came out. His houseguest, holding a wooden plate with a sandwich, floated out the door and set the plate on his lap. And it looked glorious, boasting freshly baked bread with thick slices of roasted chicken, lettuce, and tomato. The banshee had made it just the way he wanted it. He couldn't have dreamt of a better sandwich. Since his wife passed, he had made himself sandwiches, but it wasn't the same. Nothing beats the carefully constructed sandwich that someone else who cares makes. Charles ignored everything else in the world and grasped the sandwich with two hands.
"This is just perfect!"
As he lifted it up towards his mouth, someone spoke, and the words broke his concentration.
"Mr. Charles, look at these poor children. Can't we do something?" the banshee asked.
Charles froze and looked at the ghostly woman in shock, back at the sandwich, and then at the woman. In his mind, he screamed a series of curse words.
"This is blackmail, extortion. If I don't try to help, she won't make me any more sandwiches. No! Why?"
It was a trick his wife had played on him so many times he knew the tactic by heart. He could recognize it anywhere. And why did she use it so much? Because it worked. Charles knew he was trapped. The choice between listening and trying to maybe help and a future where he didn't get homemade sandwiches ever again was not a choice at all. Hope shone in the eyes of the people before him. So, with a mouthful of sandwich and falling crumbs piling up on his lap, he said,
"Well, let's start at the beginning.